Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. A reminder, if you cannot ever join us live at 11 o'clock or have to miss a day, you can check us out as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud as well. Really, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find this program. Just search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and click the subscribe button. Let's jump into today's show. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. Show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Of course, Greg is sports columnist for the Star. He joins us each Tuesday. We'll talk IU football, and he's got a lot to say about IU football with some of their recent success, including the win Saturday over Michigan. We'll talk the start of college hoops, when the Big Ten schedule might come out, and how crazy this college basketball season could be. As we've previously discussed, just going to be crazy, I think, as far as scheduling goes. And we're getting a real lesson in that and how long it's taking to even get some of the non-conference and, of course, the Big Ten conference schedule. I did see the ACC. It came out a little earlier this morning. Later in the program, segment three, we'll be joined by Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. More on IU football with him. We'll take a look at IU-Michigan State this weekend as well and what Indiana needs to shore up, what they need to do specifically if in a couple of weeks from now they have an opportunity to enter the Ohio State game with a 4-0 record. It could be a really big one for Indiana, and it could set the table for what could make an already great year superb if they could find a way to knock out Ohio State somehow. And we'll talk, what does this team need to fix, improve, do? They're playing some pretty good football now. We think Penix can be even better than what he is, and obviously teams are going to improve as the season goes on. But between now and that Ohio State game, what Mike would like to see this team figure out as they get ready for that big one a couple of weeks from now. And again, the potential's there, very much so, for Indiana to be 4-0 headed into that game with Ohio State coming up in a couple of weeks from now. And how much fun would that be? Wow, what an opportunity for this team. But they got to take care of business this weekend with Michigan State before we can get too far ahead of ourselves. But we'll do that with Mike Pegram. We'll talk a little IU and Big Ten basketball with him as well, get his thoughts on when the schedule could come out. It's got to be soon. I think that's the general consensus with Big Ten right now, and we'll talk about some other scheduling topics with Mike later in this program as well. That's the show lineup. It's brought to you each day by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in. You can take it to go and curbside service. They're still available there as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And here's my daily reminder that we love to hear from you. If you want to send me a question, a comment, a topic, feel free to do so at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. All one word, Hoosier Hills, the username on Twitter. You can also email the show now. The address is HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Appreciate those of you that do take time to send in your questions, comments, thoughts, and things of that nature. Let's get into the headlines for today, brought to you by Zaxby's. And if you needed a reminder about how good the Big Ten Conference will be, I don't think there's any question it will be this year. Yesterday, we went through the preseason All-Big Ten team. It was announced when we were on the air yesterday. Luca Garza, the preseason player of the year. Of course, Trace Jackson Davis, the lone IU representative on that team, as we all expected. Then later in the day yesterday, the first Associated Press Top 25 poll came out. And again, it's a stark reminder about how deep and how good and how solid the Big Ten is going to be. Iowa is fifth. Wisconsin is seventh. Illinois is eighth. Michigan State is 13th. Ohio State 23rd. Rutgers 24th. Michigan 25th. And if you count up the others receiving votes, Indiana would come in at number 30 in this preseason AP Top 25 for college basketball. So that's a reminder there. That's, what, seven teams plus Indiana, eight teams in the top 30, you could say, of the Associated Press poll. And look at Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois all in the top 10. Again, that just kind of underscores what the coaches are saying, what these preseason lists and publications are all saying. The Big Ten Conference could be really good. Just, I think, last week we said Richard Pitino in an interview up at Minnesota, he said he thought 12 or 13 Big Ten teams could make the NCAA tournament. That would be amazing, but I really don't think it's that far crazy when you think about how good this conference is really from top to bottom this season. Also, the Big Ten schedule got to be coming soon. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in the program today. But the ACC, just earlier, about an hour before we came on, they announced their 2020-21 men's college basketball conference schedule for, of course, across the conference. So those games, that conference is now set. The SEC is now set. The Pac-12 was the first high major conference to announce last week. Big Ten is on the board. You've got to believe that we're going to find something out this week. You've got to believe the latest we would find something out would be early next week. And I can only imagine all of the things and considerations that are having to be made for this schedule. And I can only imagine how many drafts have maybe went out to the colleges, to the administrators with some of these programs where there have had to be markups and changes and just crazy things you don't typically have to think about during college basketball. And one of the other things that's given some leeway in taking time to build this schedule and perfect this schedule for Big Ten is that it's going to be very limited fans, it seems like, at all the games, very limited to family, basically. So you're not trying to get tickets printed, get them out to season ticket holders. It's just different this year. There aren't as many things to deal with. So I guess the Big Ten and the schools feel like they can take it to the wire a little further with the Big Ten conference schedule. But we've got to be seeing it very soon. And I really would be surprised. I have no knowledge. I don't think anybody that we talk to on this program does. But I would just be shocked if we don't have it by some point later this week, definitely by Friday. But you never know. And they're trying to get it right, I'm sure, and we appreciate that. It sounds like there are rumors they're building in maybe some back-end openings, so you could see some front-loaded schedule. There was a report last week, 3, 4, 5 games maybe in the month of December as far as conference games go. If you look at Indiana's schedule, 5 games might be tough, 4, 3, I think very possible. Who knows what the conference will decide across the board, but I love the idea of getting it going. It's going to give us good college basketball on TV sooner. The conference matchups, there's nothing like them, and there's going to be nothing like the Big Ten this season. And I love the idea, obviously. We know there's going to be problems. Look at college football. Mississippi State, Auburn, LSU, Alabama, their games are all in jeopardy or have been called for this weekend. Texas A&M paused things yesterday. We know there's going to be issues, as much, maybe more, than college football. Who knows? So we know there's going to be the need for games to get moved around and rescheduled, and it just makes sense, I think, to try and front-load it and leave some openings at the end of the season before the tournament, maybe just gaps at different places later in the year for you to fit a game or two in that may need to be rescheduled. So we'll see how that looks when the schedule comes out, and we all believe it's coming out soon, as in this week or early next week. College basketball notes, this is surprising. Michigan State announced yesterday that Tom Izzo has tested positive for COVID-19 and will be working remotely. It seems like he's in good spirits. It seems like he's okay and going to obviously make it through this. But anytime someone like him, a veteran of college basketball, he looks like he's in pretty decent shape for his age, but when you see an older person, especially someone that's notable like him, come down with it, you wonder what it might mean and how his body might react. And but it sounds like he's okay. And, of course, Michigan State expected to be one of the good teams in the Big Ten and really in college basketball this year. They were 13 in the AP poll that came out yesterday. If you're an IU fan that's a little worried about the 2021 class after Indiana missed out on Trey Kaufman. Here's a little good news for you on Logan Duncombe. Brian Snow of 247 Sports was writing about some of the top 2021 members of the class that could really turn out to have good freshman years and maybe contribute right away at their college basketball programs. He had center Logan Duncombe from Cincinnati, who's an Indiana commit and their only 2021 commit at this juncture, on the list as someone to watch in the freshman class for next season of college basketball. With Duncombe, he wrote this, quote, "The Big Ten is known for physicality in the half court and teams that use traditional low post centers. One player who fits in perfectly in the class of 2021 is Logan Duncombe. Headed to Indiana, Duncombe had an excellent summer and also had a tremendous junior season. Currently ranked as the number 63 player, it might seem that Duncombe, who is 6'9" with extremely long arms, would be in line for a huge freshman year, but he will have that opportunity. Down low, Indiana will almost assuredly lose Trace Jackson Davis, and then also Joey Brunk will be completing his fifth year. While technically Brunk will have the opportunity to return for a sixth year, he might decide against it. Even if Brunk does come back, the opportunity will be there in a big way for Duncombe. With his great length, toughness, and tremendous hands, Duncombe should fit right in with what Indiana does, and the minutes will be there for him to make a major day one impact. So for a short recruiting class right now, just one player in Duncombe committed in 2021, there are some very high notes on him. I saw him once his junior year in person. He obviously had a really big season for Cincinnati Moeller and is expected to have a big senior year as well. He's someone that is kind of quietly moving up the ranks in his class, both in his state and in the country as well, and is geared, it looks like, to have a big freshman year when he does get to Indiana as well. Also a recruiting note, Musa Diabate, I'm not sure how you say the name, D-I-A-B-A-T-E, a top 10 senior in the 2021 class. He committed to Michigan yesterday. So we continue to talk about Michigan and Juwan Howard from a recruiting perspective. If Coach Howard has the X's and O's, and you would think that with his years of playing experience, of course, years on an NBA bench as well, we know he's good at player development. We know he's unbelievable so far in recruiting at Michigan, but they will become a major force year in and year out if he can coach him up as just half as well as he can recruit, because he is bringing in some big, big-time talent to Ann Arbor, and yesterday landing another top 10 player, obviously a big deal as well. Also, IU football note, no surprise here, Michael Penix got a couple honors yesterday after his big win against Michigan, his big game against Michigan for Indiana football. He was one of eight quarterbacks on the Davey O'Brien Foundation Great Eight list for this week, and he was one of eight Manning Award Stars of the Week this week. He also was added to the O'Brien Award midseason watch list. So expect the honors for Penix and for IU football to continue, much like we expect the bowl game expectations and predictions to increase with each Indiana football victory this season. But Penix is really making a name for himself, a redshirt sophomore for Indiana here early in the season. Also, bouncing around here back to basketball for a moment, Ohio State men's basketball is going to add a player named Michi Johnson at the Christmas break. He's a 2021 player. He's reclassifying. He'll be on campus right after the first semester of high school ends. And I do wonder, depending on what actually happens with high school basketball in a lot of states, if a player can graduate early and say Ohio didn't play college hoops, would you see players try to get to school early? That's what Michi Johnson is going to do at Ohio State. He's from Cleveland at Garfield Heights High School in Cleveland. And so you wonder, would Logan Duncombe, would that offer be there from Indiana for him to get there early? And who knows? I'm not saying Ohio or Indiana, no state. I'm not going to say that they're not going to play high school basketball, but the potential exists for some problems with this high school basketball season. And I think you'll see some states that do push it back. Look at Illinois right here in the Midwest, and they've taken some pretty extreme actions, I know, with sports. But let's see what they do, and let's see what Ohio does. And, of course, right now Indiana's set to play with limited attendance based on what your local health department and what your county and their current rules within the jurisdiction are. But that's something that I think you could see more of, players going at the semester break into their college careers if the program needs them, wants them right away, and maybe if they're high school basketball season is temporarily or permanently paused or has been pushed back later than normal. So that will be interesting to see as well. And that's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll head out to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Don't forget a programming note. Tonight, we've got high school girls basketball here on the Big X. It'll be our first high school broadcast outside of football. I was trying to think this morning, indoor broadcast, maybe since I think it would have been last March, maybe hit the Seymour sectional in boys basketball when things were called to a halt. Obviously, we've had football this fall. We did some Little League baseball stuff, all outdoor sports over the summer. But glad to be back in a gym tonight. I understand it's going to be very limited attendance at Providence. So if you can't make it, we'll have the call on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. To a break we go. Greg Doyle is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star always joins on Tuesday. We have a lot of fun. We talk IU. We talk a lot of stuff when Greg is with us here on the program. And I want to start with IU football. Obviously, that's been the lead topic this week and could be for the foreseeable future if this Indiana team continues to play as they have and win some big games. And, of course, everyone knows that Ohio State matchup is looming a couple weeks from now. But before we get into IU football, really, I want to talk about the head coach, Tom Allen. And you and I have had this conversation before, and you wrote a piece on the IndyStar.com website for subscribers that I thought was excellent about Coach Allen. But in some of the big moments that Indiana's had, and within the team, and small victories, and a win here in the Big Ten, and other to reach a bowl game, and various things of that nature, we've seen up close and personal how this guy leads, how he responds, the energy that he has on the sidelines, and the way that he loves his players. And I have a feeling that others are starting maybe on a more national level as Indiana's really risen in the polls and starting to get more attention or beginning to find out just what a guy this Tom Allen is at Indiana. He really leads in a very remarkable way. And you've got to love the cut or the mark or the bruise or whatever the hell it was on his face this week that he got from bumping into a player during a celebration.
Yeah, that was a great moment. The most Tom Allen moment ever is that he was so excited about the big play that he, collides heads with a guy wearing a helmet and cuts his face open and doesn't care. And afterwards, the quote he said was something like, "I don't think it's broken, and I really don't care anyway," because he was feeling no pain. And, a couple years ago, maybe even last year, but, listen, this is IU. This is the world today. There's always going to be haters, no matter who you are, no matter where you coach. That's just the way it goes. But when that was happening with Tom, it was, people would call him a high school coach, because he's so hyper, and he's got so much energy, and it doesn't really look normal. And so the haters, whether they were from other schools or even maybe just IU fans weren't sure what they had, they'd call him a high school coach. The implied is that you're not ready for the college. Well, that can go both ways, though. And when you're winning and that enthusiasm's, lifting your players up and they want to come play for a coach like that, it's a great thing. So that's what we're seeing right now is that the attitude that you have when you're winning is so lovable, because it is. And it's not like it shouldn't be lovable. The only reason you like it is because he's winning. It's not that way. It's almost like it's now a vortex of they're winning and his attitude's likable and they're winning and it's more likable. And it's just kind of, you wonder how high this vortex can go. And I don't mean to say Indiana's going to join Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State as the big bad bullies of the Big Ten, but you do kind of wonder, he's not done growing this thing. Now, some school might come along and money whip him and kind of force him to go somewhere else for $8 million a year or something, but until that happens, they're on the rise.
That's exactly where I was headed next, was as he builds this thing, it's inevitable that a school will come along and see what he's done, what he's doing, and how he does it, and put the money out in front of him. And I know money talks loud, and money can completely change things, but you have to wonder, with how committed he is to things and the message, this love each other, LEO message that he's preached in good years and in bad years, you have to wonder if this guy isn't totally committed to the cause where some of that doesn't matter. And again, I know when you say $8 million, that can change the narrative on things, but with what he seems to practice, what he preaches, I wonder if he would be as enthused by money as what maybe others would to take a bigger challenge on or a better program on.
You know, for the same reason that I really thought Jeff Brohm would not go to Louisville. And that's, I mean, that was the perfect storm. He's from Louisville. He's an alma mater from there. And, you know, he was going to leave Purdue better than he found it. You know, nobody would have faulted him for going. But I didn't think he would, just because I thought he was, you know, the kind of guy that just wouldn't leave Purdue for a couple of years. And Louisville fans, of course, they all assumed he was coming. And we all know how that turned out. Tom Allen, sort of the same way. He's, you know, he's an Indiana guy. And I don't just mean IU, but yeah, IU. But, I mean, he's from Indiana. He grew up in Newcastle, coached high school football all over the place, was the head coach at Ben Davis, has been back in the state now for 4 or 5 years. His son is going to graduate from IU, and I'm not sure what other kids he has, but what that situation is. But I mean, he is a state of Indiana guy. And again, as you said, and as I kind of mentioned earlier, $8 million, whatever, you put enough zeros on a check, and we can all wonder how much in Indiana or wherever we're from, how much are we really committed to that place? Because that place can't pay me this. And someone's going to come along and money with them. And I'm not saying it's going to work. They're going to try. You know, college football is all about, you want to win the press conference and you want to, you need the wins. You need to win games to make money. You know, they're not fooling around. And the COVID thing has made it worse. Like, you've got to win. You've got to win. You've got to win. You've got to win. And someone from the SEC, some big school, is going to come along and throw a lot of money at this guy. And heck, I mean, you wonder, is Michigan going to throw a lot of money at this guy? Who knows? But anyway, he's going to be offered some stuff, because they're not done winning. They're not done. And he's going to get offered something, and we're going to find out. And I don't even want to imply that if he takes it, he's a bad guy. But we're going to find out exactly how committed he is to IU, because someone's going to, you know, make him choose a bag of money over here or a smaller bag of money over there. Either way, it's going to be a big bag.
Let's talk about your thoughts on this IU football team. How good are they? I mean, you follow the Big Ten. You follow this program. Penn State maybe wasn't as good as what people thought. They lost a couple key players for various reasons heading into the season. Michigan, it's clear they've had their struggles this year and really in recent years as well. But still, you would think solid football teams in the Big Ten Conference. How good can Indiana be? Can they compete? Can they beat an Ohio State in a couple weeks? Are they that good?
They're good enough that they can. You know, IU has played Ohio State fairly close. And I'm not an encyclopedia of this sort of thing, but I feel like it was a one touchdown game a couple years ago. And I feel like it's been definitely within a touchdown or so going into the fourth quarter several times. And this IU team is much better than any of those. And this Ohio State team, it's kind of similar, which means they're always really good. They haven't taken a step back. They're always really good, and they're really good now. But IU is better. So can they win? For sure they can win. I wouldn't bet money they will. But for sure they can. You know, the biggest thing is the depth, obviously. Ohio State, you know, has 40 or 50 or probably 60 four-star recruits. And so if a guy gets hurt in the middle of the game or as the season goes on and just gets tired, you bring in somebody who's almost as good. At IU, Tom Allen has lifted the level. So where he's now got four-star guys all over the starting lineup on both sides, but you're going to bring off the bench a two and a three-star, really a three-star. So the depth is the issue. Does anybody get hurt that game or not? But IU has the firepower. We saw that those IU receivers, they were better athletes than the Michigan guys trying to cover them. And the IU defensive backs were, with one exception, that Bell kid from Michigan's ridiculous, but with the exception of that Bell kid, IU's DBs were at least as good as and maybe better than the Michigan receivers. And IU's always got a great offensive line. They always do. And Michael Penix is a great player, and they got two really good running backs. So they can hang with Ohio State. The question is just over 60 minutes, will things go wrong enough where all that depth will come back and hurt you?
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. He's with us Tuesdays on the program. I want to talk a little basketball. AP rankings came out yesterday. Preseason All Big Ten team was put out as well. And we've talked about this, but my God, the Big Ten is going to be good this year with individual talent, deep teams, and it's hard to see this not being a conference that maybe even sets a record for the number of teams that could send to the NCAA tournament. I just think the Big Ten's going to be the class of the class in college hoops this year.
Yeah, it comes and goes in cycles, and those years where the Big Ten is kind of mocked as being a football conference because the basketball is not very good. We're going to go the other way this year, and the football is just fine, but the basketball is going to be great. And I think it makes all the sense in the world if we get this far in the season that the Big Ten will set a record. Set a record for bids because for a lot of reasons, and one of those reasons is that a lot of these conferences, I'm not sure they're going to play enough games to get bids. You know, the mid-majors and the upper mids, I'm not sure if they're going to – there's not going to be 350 schools competing for 68 bids this year. I don't know what the number will be, but it'll be lower than 350. So there's going to be a vacuum, and the Big Ten is going to step into that vacuum. You know, the All-Big Ten preseason team came out. I love it. IU has a guy in there, Jackson Davis. Purdue has a guy in there, Trayvon Williams. And the city of Indianapolis has a guy in there. Played at Ben Davis, Aaron Henry at Michigan State. So there's Indiana flavor all over that preseason Big Ten team.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple quick things before we let you go. You've written a lot about Luke Brown at Blackford, and we've talked about him because he's been an interesting storyline in high school basketball. His team's going to come down, or at least scheduled to come down and play at New Albany in the month of December. I didn't know if you saw this. Kind of unfortunate. I read it just during the program earlier, but Coach Hoover, 86 years old, legendary coach in our state, he decided to step down because of COVID-19. Didn't want to risk, you know, maybe getting the virus. The athletic director was quoted saying, hey, he felt like at his age, if he got it, he may not survive the virus. And so a legendary figure. He got a lot of great years in coaching. Sad to see he won't be with Luke Brown for this final hurrah as they showcase him around the state. And I know you've written a lot about Luke and covered that pretty closely, so I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to be official today. I've been texting with a guy in Blackford in their basketball program, not Luke, but they thought that might happen. I'm not sure what's official right now, but Jerry Hoover's got a son named Don, who's kind of an analytics guy. I mean, he's a basketball guy, but he's all about the numbers. It sounds like Don might coach the JV team, and the JV coach would coach the varsity. Maybe you know something different, but that's what I was hearing this morning. But you know, the Blackford AD, Tony Uggan, had COVID.
Yeah.
And had it, like, bad, you know. There's no good COVID, but he was in a hospital for weeks. And I'm sure that must have been such an eye-opener message, something to Jerry Hoover, who is 85 or 86 years old. You know, what's sad about this also is that he's got a grandson, Jerry does, in the program. And I think it's his son, Don Hoover's kid. He has a grandson who's a sophomore. And he was hoping to coach him for two more years. And in 2 years, Blackford, Luke Brown has lifted that entire place up. Luke Brown has... They've all learned basketball work ethic and passion and zeal. And in any small school in Indiana doesn't need a lot of help learning that. But Luke Brown lifted that whole city up. And apparently, in about two years after Luke Brown's gone, he's in Stetson doing whatever he's doing down there, Blackford could be really, really good. And Jerry Hoover was hoping to coach that team too, and he's going to be 87 years old or so. So it's sad for a lot of reasons. And I hope that Luke's okay, and I'm sure he will be. But you know, Luke picked Blackford. He was – living in Noblesville, Indiana, as a seventh grader, eighth grader, and everybody knew how, I mean, his family knew what they had. They knew he's great, and so we got to pick a school and do it right because he's, you know, going to get a lot of attention, and let's do this right. And they considered Plainfield. They're probably going to go to Plainfield, and then they kind of got with Jerry Hoover, who's a relative of the family, but they all know each other well. Reason looks so. I hope he's okay. That his reason is now gone, and now that he's a senior. And a Mr. Basketball candidate, he's his own reason now, but it is sad for him too.
Yeah, it won't be the same when Blackford makes their way to New Albany without Coach Hoover. He's really been a fixture in the state. Veterans Day tomorrow. I want to close on that note as well. We talk some non-sports things from time to time, and Veterans Day is tomorrow, Greg.
It is, and I've got a story going to be online probably tomorrow. I've already written it, but hopefully it'll be online tomorrow. Definitely in the paper tomorrow. I heard about a there's a cemetery on the north side of Indianapolis that was neglected. I mean, neglected like the grass was up to your waist, just neglected. Right next to the church, but the church closed, and no one was really taking care of the cemetery. And a woman, her dad was there, and her dad was a veteran. And so she went, she was literally cutting the grass around his tombstone with scissors, literally with scissors, just to, so she could go visit her dad's resting spot. Well, as it turns out, she decided, you know, I feel bad that I can't help everybody else out. And so I'm going to, I'm sorry, my road is closed. Anyway, my road's closed. I'm going to help everybody else out and cut the grass. She was been cutting the grass, and then she found there's 15 veterans in the cemetery, 15. And she's made up a list of 15, and she's now defended. The cemetery has American heroes dating back to the Civil War. And so the story is about a cemetery and the woman that just wouldn't let it go neglected, and there's veterans in there. Anyway, it's a very powerful thing that what people, the human spirit is an amazing thing, is all I'm going to say.
Absolutely. We'll check that out tomorrow. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. Greg, as always, thanks for the time. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Matt, for tolerating me. I'll see you.
Greg with us Tuesdays here on the program. All right, we'll head to a commercial break here in just a moment. And a reminder, tonight we have high school girls basketball coming up on the airwaves. We'll have Lanesville. Guess who the coach of Lanesville is? Angie Hinton and assistant coach Joe Hinton, former Floyd Central coach. They will be at Providence tonight, and a very limited attendance. I think it's 2 tickets per parent. And so we wanted to get out and do some girls' games here early this season to help get them on the air for those that maybe can't make the game as well. And also we'll be at Brownstown on Thursday night as New Albany will play at Brownstown for that contest as well. Stay with us. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is next. We'll have IU football and IU basketball discussion with him coming up. So stay with us for that in the third segment today. And this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us as always on Tuesday. And we've got to start with the lead story, IU football coming out of the weekend with the win over Michigan. Now a top 10 ranked Indiana football program in both the Associated Press and the USA Today coaches poll. Mike, as the games are being played, as the successes are happening on the field and in the score column for this IU football program, we know that this sort of activity, these big wins, some national television opportunities, Coach Allen getting invited to appear on different national shows, a lot of ESPN shows he appeared on over the last couple of weeks, it does nothing but help recruiting. And I've got to believe that Indiana's surge to start the Big Ten season has probably helped get them in better shape with some of the in-state players and even beyond that they're tracking on the football recruiting side.
Oh, yeah. Huge benefits. It may not pay off until the next recruiting class, because they've, you know, pretty much got a lot of commitments from the current one, but it will pay off. There's no doubt about it. It's a top 10 ranking. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff.
Well, coming out of the weekend for IU football, you've been covering this a long time, as long as anyone. Your reaction to Indiana snapping this long losing streak to Michigan, Indiana now ranked in the top 10, and seeing this Indiana team really reach new heights that it hasn't for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, one time I really thought this team was possible, some really big things, was actually in the middle of that Tennessee game in the Gator Bowl. I mean, they actually should have won that game kind of going away and didn't finish very well, and that's kind of galvanized them this year. But you watch that game, and you're looking at a very solid SEC program, and Indiana was really outplaying them.
and he looked at that roster that at that time, and like almost everyone was coming back. So there was a lot of positive feelings that this could be a very good team, especially with Michael Penix healthy, and a pretty good defense, you know, on the other side. So it's, but you know, to actually beat Michigan and Penn State, I mean, that's something that nobody really expected.
Yeah, and let's talk this weekend, Michigan State. Indiana's going to be, I would think, a reasonable favorite in that game, but they beat Michigan by 3 points. They've had some ups and downs in this early Big Ten season for Michigan State. What do you see this weekend in the football game?
Well, it's a game that Indiana should win, and they'll be a close favorite. Michigan State has had one nice win at Michigan. They have some passing abilities, but they don't run the ball very well. And then, you know, they're transferring from a coach to a new regime, and they got hammered pretty much from the get-go at Iowa, and of course lost at home to Rutgers. So it's a game where Indiana should be able to get to 4-0, but they have to show up. If you remember the game at Rutgers, it took a while for IU to kind of take control because there was maybe a little bit of a hangover, emotional hangover. So we'll see if that happens again at East Lansing.
And let's talk about Michael Penix as well, quarterback for this IU football team. He had a big game on Saturday, but he's also had a big week so far because he was named to the Davey O'Brien Foundation Great Eight list of quarterbacks and also one of 8 Manning Award Stars of the Week, and he's also on the O'Brien Award midseason watch list. So he really is beginning to get some national attention after this good start both for him and for Indiana football. And like we've talked about before, and Matt Weaver's added this too, we think the best football could still be ahead for quarterback Penix.
Yeah, he's gotten better each week. You know, he can play better than he has been. Last Saturday, Michigan's secondary was the question mark, and they really took advantage of it in the first half. Guys, the receivers on Indiana were able to make one-on-one plays with good coverage, because the secondary Michigan just doesn't have the athletes or the playmakers they've had in the past. And Penix does enjoy a really nice receiver group. He's thrown a little bit off his back foot. He's got to stop that. He's thrown a couple balls here and there where he should have had a little bit softer, a little bit touch, but he's gotten better with that each week. And I thought this past Saturday really got rid of the ball fast. And that's why that Indiana did not even give up a single sack. So that's a sign of progress and a sign of things to come that Michael Penix might be a really, really good player.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU football, where we're starting, as you can imagine, with Indiana's 3-0 start and big win Saturday over Michigan. You know, I listened to Tom Allen yesterday, his Monday press conference, to recap the win and talk about the week ahead for this IU team. Listening to him talk about what went right and even some areas of improvement still for this team, I want to ask you the same thing. As Indiana looks ahead, yes, Michigan State, IU is going to be the favorite this weekend, but coming up, looming very soon, is the Ohio State matchup. We know that Ohio State, legitimate, very good, projected to make the college football playoffs, projected to win the Big Ten Conference. So I ask you, what does Indiana need to shore up? As good as things have been generally, what are the areas Indiana needs to improve in if they are going to compete and maybe win a game like the Ohio State game, which probably is in contention this year more than it ever has been for this team?
Well, the offensive line was basically the weakness against Penn State, and they've gotten better the second and third week. And in fact, it was a big part of our conversations with Coach Allen yesterday in his weekly press conference, the strides that they have made. But it's still an area that you wonder how they would manage against a big-time front line like in Ohio State. So that would be an area to watch in that game. If they have to, you know, continue to improve and improve, they can do it against big-time talent. The pass rush, they have very good defensive tackles, but on the ends, can Indiana actually get to quarterback? That's been a question mark all season long. But the linebackers are solid, but not spectacular. Something that you know, shows itself more in against a top five level team like Ohio State.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's talk some basketball for a moment. The All Big Ten preseason, All Big Ten team was announced yesterday by the conference. No surprise that Trace Jackson Davis is on the list. He's the lone representative from Indiana. But one thing that I was reminded very quickly, and we've talked a lot about it, leading up to the start of the season here in a few weeks. But when you look at that list from Luka Garza all the way down, it reminds you not only how many great teams the Big Ten Conference has the potential to have this season, but the number of really star-studded players that are moving through the conference right now. Garza, a pair from Illinois that really probably could be in the NBA draft, which is coming up very soon, chose to come back to school this year with the pandemic and all the craziness going on around the draft and it being moved back. But just a lot of really good players, and it quickly reminded me that this conference, night in and night out, is going to produce some really good matchups and some really good college basketball.
Yeah, it'll be quite a bit like last year. That's why you see projections for Indiana only around number 7 in the standings as we come into this year, despite having, you know, a lot of other players back, and of course your go-to guy in Trace Jackson Davis. So yeah, it'll be fun, it'll be a crazy year because outside of maybe the opener or maybe one or two games in December, that Indiana will be playing all Big Ten level opponents. You know, we're talking about the Maui group, Crossroads added to the 20 Big Ten games, and it's going to be a fun ride, and it's just crazy to me that we're 2 weeks from the start of the season now and we still don't have a schedule. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my next question. I think I saw the ACC supposed to come out very, very soon. When can we expect a Big Ten schedule? I don't think any of us know, but common sense would tell you if the season starts November 25th, we pretty much know the non-conference schedule, with maybe missing one mid-major, lower major opponent for this team. We've got to find that schedule out, I would have to think, this week, because, you know, fans want to know, media wants to know, but the schools have to know as they begin to build how they're going to do things and travel and other arrangements that have to be made. Common sense would tell me it's got to come out this week or at the latest, very early next week.
Yeah, it's not as important with, you know, the attendance issue being limited, but then again, if you do have limited attendance, that's going to take a lot of work to organize. And so, yeah, I would expect it this week, but I don't know that it's coming this week. I just know that the clock is ticking. And we had heard that it wasn't going to come out last week, but I don't think we've heard that this week, but I know there's so many issues to work out. It's a pretty Herculean task for getting this done. And I think the question mark is whether you will have the non-conference games or not, like the Tennessee Tech coming to Indiana. Will that happen or not is, I think, a big question.
So you still feel that no matter what happens with the conference schedule as far as when it's announced, that certain non-conference games, maybe the home games like the mid-major opponents, the Tennessee Tech, we expect another to be announced or added. You think that some of this, even if it's printed, even if it's announced, even if it's put out on the IU basketball website, some of this could still be up in the air?
Yeah, I'm not predicting that, but I think that's a possibility because the want to have the control of everything within the same Big Ten hierarchy, or at least a Power 5 level thing, or a very organized situation like the Maui thing in Asheville or the Crossroads. So we'll see. I mean, especially, if what if you have a school, non-conference school coming in for one of the hotbeds, you know, where the coronaviruses are way up, do you want to play that school? You know, so that's something that, and you don't know if that they're testing every single day before practice like a Big Ten school. So a lot of people still aren't sold that those non-conference games, basic home non-conference games, will happen.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. I want to close and go out today with this. Trace Jackson Davis, he's got lots of preseason honors. Indiana fans know what he did a year ago. We've heard what Archie Miller told him. If you're coming back this year, be ready to take it to the next level. We know he has the NBA in his sights in the future. So I don't think there's any question, if you're a Big Ten team and you're scouting Indiana, you know you got to start with Trace Jackson Davis. I guess my question is, with all the other players this offseason that we've talked about, whether it be some of the newcomers, the freshman, Christian Lander, some of the returners, Jerome Hunter comes to mind because he's not really been able to be himself, the player that we thought coming out of high school he could be. But if you had to make a prediction a couple weeks before the opening game, at least the scheduled game for Indiana, Who's in that number two seat? Who does Trace play off of? Who's a leader behind him, but still at the top of the roster for this team if you had to make some projections?
I would guess that Al Durham will end up being the second leading scorer, if that's the question. He's probably the best shooter on this team, and he's a senior. And he's also finally, I think, at the physical strength level that the Big Ten demands. He wasn't a very strong kid his first couple of years, and he wasn't a very good shooter right away. So he's kind of shored up those two weaknesses, and that experience thing will be a big deal. I think the guards will be pretty good overall, especially with Christian Lander kind of playing well from all indications. And we're hearing about really good improvement from both Armon Franklin and Rob Finnessy, and Rob being healthy. I think the guards will be pretty good strength, and I would very much expect three-guard lineups quite often.
Interesting. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you next week, guys.
All right. Absolutely. Mike Pegram with us as we wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. Just a couple reminders. Make sure you check us out as a podcast. If you can't be with us live in the 11 o'clock hour, you can find us as a podcast on Apple Podcast, on SoundCloud, and really we're available probably anywhere you listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can find us there as well. And don't forget, coming up tonight, we've got high school girls basketball on the Big X. It's our first high school basketball broadcast of the winter, Lanesville at Providence tonight, in that opening game for us here on the Big X. And coming up Thursday, we have Brownstown hosting New Albany. So two girls games this week as we get our high school basketball coverage underway here on the Big X. That's going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget, tonight we'll be on the air about 7:10 with the Providence girls game, and we'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.